Tonight's Bible reading comes from Romans 8, 1 to 11. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, and indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit in Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you.
Thanks, Chloe. Hey, everybody. Why don't you keep your Bibles open? I hope they're already open. If you don't have a Bible, grab one out or find one that you can follow along with. We are, as Billy said, continuing in a way. Well, yeah, we are continuing in this series, thinking about how it is that we as Christians live in times of trial. And having worked through the book of Habakkuk, and if you haven't checked them out, go back and check out those four sermons in Habakkuk, we thought Romans 8 would be a really great place to jump to next. It is an incredible passage, and we're going to spend 5 weeks diving hopefully deeply into this book. And so tonight we'll look at those first 11 verses that Chloe just read out for us. Why don't I pray as we take a look at what God has to say to us by his word tonight. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That because of what he has done and because of the presence of your Holy Spirit in our lives, we can have a confidence that we know that we have life, that we are assured of life. And I pray tonight that as we look at your word, that that's how we might walk away from tonight or continue on in our homes, that we might continue as people who know that we have a certainty of true life through the Spirit, as he brings to us all the work that Christ Jesus has done, as he transforms our lives, and one day, as God, you raise us from the dead. Father, thank you so much for the life that we get in Jesus Christ, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Romans 8 starts and ends with security. It starts and ends with assurance. So verse 1, it says, and we've just had it read, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And it finishes all the way down in verse 39 after it takes a wonderful journey in saying that there is nothing in all of creation that will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. They are momentous words. They give us such assurance. They give us such hope. They give us such purpose. They give us the security that we're going to talk about tonight. Romans 8 is one of those wonderful passages that people talk about all the time, that they say is, oh, it's been said, it is one of the greatest chapters in the greatest book of all time. And when I think of Romans 8, I remember a couple of years back, I had a mate who, he was on a trip and he was in a plane and he'd taken this photo from the plane. Not this exact photo. That's a pretty good photo if you've taken that, but it was of him with this peak in the background, and I wonder if you know which peak that is. Well, it's the highest peak of the highest mountain range in our world. It's Mount Everest. And he said, you know, lols, he said, this is the high point of my trip. Makes sense. But in some respects, Romans 8 is like that mountaintop. It is the high point of the Christian life. It shows to us that mountaintop experience that well, we can all have, that we can all take. And so as we have these 5 weeks journeying through this book, I'm hoping that's what you can be reminded of and maybe even experience. Because all too often, I reckon we as Christians think that the Christian life is valleys with the occasional little hit on top of the mountain. You know, you get those feelings of insecurity, those feelings of shame and guilt and fear, and you fail and you struggle and it just seems, what's the point? Surely there's other things in life that I can cling to, do to get that security and assurance that I'm hoping for and need. But then Romans 8 is like that light that bursts through, like the light that was hitting that top of that Mount Everest picture just before. Because this is for all people and for all time. It's not just that moment that you have every once in a while. These are the promises that are given to God's people. If you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is true for you. Because where do we get our security? Where do we find assurance? Well, we heard it before when these guys are chatting on the lounge. We like to sort of feel secure. The idea comes to us that we're safe and we're sure with our family, with predictability, with our job, with our home. Many things that we can either control or put around us to make sure that we feel okay. And we try and make sure that everything is safe. And if it's not crim safe, it's not crim safe, eh? And if you can't secure it, what do? You insure it. But insurance only works for a period of time. And man, they catch you out with insurance too, don't they? Paul talks about something so much deeper than insurance. He talks about assurance, eternal assurance that you have, that you can hold, security. He has life and death in mind. He has eternal realities in mind. And that's what we get to deal with and wrestle with tonight. That's what we get to deal with and wrestle with when it comes to God's word. And Christian, this is for you. So please, let's grasp this tonight. Because if you've read Romans before, we get to chapter 8 and Paul says, therefore. And whenever there's a therefore, you kind of got to look before it to see what the therefore is there for. And he's been unpacking what it means to have the wonderful, glorious grace that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to believers and how that then interacts with, well, what do I do with my life now? And the way he kind of sums it up at this point, he's wrapping up all that he's talked about in chapters 1 to 7, particularly 5 to 7, and he says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, life secure. And he's going to show us that that security comes because of what Christ has done. He did what you and I couldn't. And he's going to show how it is that by the Spirit, he kind of like delivers that. He gives that to you and then he dwells with you. And so let's get stuck in. Let's have a look at this first little part. The first four verses, we'll see life is secured by the Spirit. That there is now no condemnation. You can get security. You can be insured better than insured. You can be completely assured because of what it is that Christ Jesus has done. Let me read verse 1 again for you. You're going to hear it a few times. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This little verse with the therefore does, it takes us back. It sends us back to kind of like chapter 5. And I think as we look at this, just those words, no condemnation, to be free of guilt and shame. Because if you're condemned, you're guilty, aren't you? You're going to be charged. And the sentence we're told in the scriptures for sin guilt is death. And so no condemnation, we have to own this. The fact that there is no conviction, that there is no sentence of death anymore, we have to own it. And Paul, by using these words, throws us back to chapter 5. If you have a look, chapter 5, just flick, because you've got a Bible there. He says in verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. No condemnation, but peace. Justification, a right standing, a right judgment that you don't deserve, given to you because of Jesus. You are freed from the sentence. You are freed from the guilt, freed from the shame, and the ultimate outcome, which is death. And like, we've got to own this. This has to be our banner that we wave loud and proud, because Paul has spent chapters unpacking this. Our Lord and Savior came after many, many books and the history of Israel that you heard Deb pray about just before to ensure that we have this. This is central. This is foundational to all of Christianity. This is what we hold. This is what we announce. This is what gives you security. And I don't know about you, but I forget it. I forget it often, because there's those moments. So there's been a couple of times where I've been speeding and been caught. So I'm sure there's been plenty of times where you guys have been speeding and not being caught. But when you get caught, you know you've done the wrong thing, because the lights flash and they pull you over and you're like, ah. And most of the time it's because I didn't see the sign, is what I'll tell you. But I, at that point, know that I am condemned. I've broken the law. And there's a couple of places back in the inner west where I did get pulled over and, yep, I was speeding. That if I drive past now today, I get this like guilty feeling and I slow down and make sure that I'm doing well below the speed limit because I have memories of my condemnation and my guilt and my shame. But it's not just in those moments in the car that that happens either. There's moments in my mind, there's places, there's moments in my memory that I can go back to and go through and past and like drive by, and I feel guilt and shame too. There's probably things maybe yesterday for you, this week, this year, where you know that your conviction when it comes to, have you obeyed the speed limit? Have you obeyed the law? Have you kept all that it is that God has commanded to us? Your conscience tells you, you know you haven't. And that's pretty normal, because have a look at Romans chapter 3, verse 20. It says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. The law that God laid down, his good law, reveals to us our brokenness. It reveals to us that we are lawbreakers. We have failed. And we feel it. We know it. Sometimes we feel that more than anything else. I do. The law tells us, like those signs do, that our sin is real. Our conscience tells us that we are guilty. But what did verse 1 say? There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We have to own that because you feel the other stuff all the time. But why? How? How is it that all of a sudden I can just be freed? How can I have security in life, that I have life secured because of what Jesus has done? Well, that's where it is, isn't it? It's not through a life well lived. It's not through work. It's not through how I love my family. It's not through how I have protected things and built them up around and whether I've been really, really good so my insurance will pay off. No, those things will fail. And that's actually wonderful because the beauty of the gospel is security in life doesn't come from what you and I do. It comes from Christ's work. And then it's given to us, delivered straight to the door by the Spirit. Look at verses 2 and 3. They explain exactly why it's no longer a need for you and I to worry about condemnation. Have a look. Verse 2 says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh. Right there. Now, that seems like a pretty complex little cookie. I like complex cookies. I think they're the tastiest. But it's also simple because simply put, we are delivered security by the Spirit because of what Christ has done. See, there is two powers here at work, two powers that will be shown right throughout this little part of the text. One is the flesh or the law, the law that has been impacted by the flesh. And then one is the law of the Spirit. The old power brought sin and death. The new power, what does it bring? It brings freedom. It brings life. It brings security. And all that is made possible by what? Well, verse 3 shows us what God did in sending his Son, by Christ Jesus' work. It wasn't that long ago that all the gyms were closed. And I have a few gym bro mates that found that very, very difficult because they couldn't go in and sculpt. They weren't able to lift and enjoy going to the gym. I have a garage gym, and yeah, there's times where I don't get the chance to go in there as much as I'd like to, which means sometimes what happens is if you've been lifting a particular weight, and let's say it's bench press. Bench press is the one, for those that may not know, playing along at home, that you put on your chest, push-up sort of thing like this, yeah? When you go back into the gym, you like to believe you can still lift the exact same amount you did when you left, when you'd been training consistently for some time. And so you go in there and you pop the bar on the rack so it's nice and safe and you whack all this weight on. For me, it's probably like, what do you reckon? 10 kilos. You whack on all this weight, huge amounts of weight, so it's really, really heavy. Then you lie down and you take it off the rack and you think, hey, I'm doing all right. And then you drop it down onto your chest and you can't move and you can't budge it. And the weight, Your flesh is weak, which means you can't lift it off you. And I've told you guys this before. There's a couple of options at that point. You can either do the roll out and hope you only have 10 kgs on, because that can hurt with the amount of weight I lift. It can, you roll down, or if you really need to and you haven't got the locks on, you can tilt either side. Both are quite dangerous. I'd probably just suggest having a spotter or realizing you're not that strong. The point is, when your flesh is weak, you can't lift that weight. And in a way, that's what Paul is talking about here. The law was made powerless, not because the law was no good, but because our flesh was weak. We were sinful. We are sinful. The law was unable to rescue us from sin and from death, because instead what it did was, chapter 3, verse 20, it revealed that we are sinful. It's our weak flesh, bro. And when I talk about flesh, when the Bible's talking about flesh, it's not like the bodies themselves or the flesh or the bones, but it's our worldly focus. It's our sinful nature, it might be translated in your Bible. The state that our bodies are in, the state that our minds are in, our general tilt. And our sinful state meant that the law could only ever condemn us. It could never give us life. And yet we are often convinced that's actually the way to life. That's the way to security, is to convince myself I can keep this stuff. But that's just like, I have these two keys that look identical. And particularly when I'm coming home at night, if I take one out and try and whack it in the door, jam it in the door, I can't get in. That's what it's like when you try and get security by living by the law or living it yourself. That door will not open. You'll be locked out. See, God had a much bigger, much more gracious Jesus-shaped key that he had planned. So please hear the gospel tonight as we start Romans 8. Like, this next little bit almost has like a John 3:16 ring to it, doesn't it? Second half of verse 3, God did this by sending his son, how? In the likeness of sinful flesh, as a man, like a man. Likeness. So he wasn't exactly the same because he was sinless. He lived that perfect life so that he could then become the perfect sin offering. He offered himself up. And what did he do then? He condemned sin in his flesh. He has taken it. It is gone. There is no need to worry about that sentence of condemnation. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because he dealt with it. And when you step into the place that he is, it's gone. Christ has done it. You couldn't do it. We can't. But he's unlocked the key. He is the key to salvation. And so what's so wonderful is that you've got the key, and that key is then delivered to you. How? By the Spirit. Verse 4, the Spirit comes and delivers it to you. See, he condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us. Christ has done it. Who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, it's the Spirit now that governs us. It is the Spirit who leads us. God's purposes were always that his people would be made to look like and walk like and talk like, to live like his people. And that's what this does. Life is secured, and then we can live freely like his people. And verse 4 balances really nicely, doesn't it? It shows Christ has done it, the first half. The righteous requirement was done by Jesus. There is no condemnation. So grab that banner and wave it. Get that key unlocked, because that is what we own and what we hold. And then the Spirit gives it to us. And by the Spirit, we live it. Second half of verse 4. We don't live according to the flesh anymore, but according to the Spirit. And actually that live, the word there for live is the word for walk. There is a way of life for you and me, Christian. And I'm not going to focus too much on this today, because I want to emphasize the security that flows naturally like a walk. We walk a particular way. Christian, you and me, we wave the banner that says no condemnation, because we have that in Christ Jesus. And then we not just only wave that banner, we walk the walk, we talk the talk, all empowered by the Spirit. It is a supernatural act that has happened. We are safe. We are secure. We are sure because of his gracious, not just insurance, but assurance. And then we get to live this life. But I really want to emphasize it at this point. That I want to emphasize the security, because I want us to see the mountaintop and to be there and to know that that can be ours at all times. Because the next few verses are going to ingrain this a little bit more. And I know there's probably people out there who are just, You are filled and overflowing with the Spirit. You are like, amen, brother. Like, I am waving that banner. I know there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. I am not just waving the banner. I am walking the walk. I am living in holiness. I am living in truth. I know the Christian way is the best way, and I feel free, and I know that my life is secure. But then there's others. That when you read the second half of verse 9, let me read it for you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. You think, well, dang, that's probably me. Because, yep, this week again I failed. I walked into that sin that I consistently do. And during this season, to be honest, I've been pretty dry. I've not really looked at God's word. I've barely engaged with God's people properly. Tonight, that prayer thing was probably the first time I'd even thought about prayer. And I know that I'm feeling inconsistent, and I want it. I do. I actually want to pursue and to follow the Lord, but I just feel like, now, I have to say, there is a difference. There is a difference, and we'll see this in a moment. There is a difference between those who do trust in Jesus and acknowledge him and know who he is, and those who don't. And you might have to ask the question, do I actually know the risen Lord Jesus Christ? If you don't, please, grab that key. You can have life today. Don't leave that question unanswered. And we would love to help you with that, so please let us know. But Christian brother and sister, who I know the majority of you right now are, Paul writes this to his brothers and sisters. And he writes it to us to remind each of us that we've been given security. That you and me, we have a supernatural power at work within us who will one day raise us from the dead. We have to keep our mind on him. We have to allow him to dwell within him because, well, then nothing can overcome us. Imagine a church that actually lived waving that banner of no condemnation high and saying what it is that the Spirit inspires. Who can bring a charge against me? God has chosen me. God has justified me. Who can separate me from the love of Christ? Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, or the sword? No, not death or life, no angels, no demons, no present, no future thing, no powers. Nothing in all of creation, no, in all things. We are more than conquerors. Wave that banner high, please. Grasp it. Own it. Know it. There is no condemnation. And then live with that in mind. Live with the Spirit in your life. Because there's so many influencers even these days, isn't there, that want to direct us and try and shape our mind and shape the way that we view and think about things. Things that shape us from the inside, our own thoughts, and then things that come from the outside that sort of direct us in ways that will be fleshly. And Paul's about to talk about the very reality that if you're a Christian, there is a difference. There is a difference in your mindset, and there's a different tenet that's taken home in you. There is a difference. And there's only one path that leads you to a life of security and a life of freedom. And Christian, if you've been following in Jesus' way, you have that path. See, those who live by the Spirit, Christians, are the ones who have the path to life. But then those who live by the flesh, well, they don't. So let me show you firstly how it is that this plays out with the mindset, because there's two different mindsets, and one leads to death and one leads to life. Have a look at verse 5. It's very clear. Those who live according to the flesh have their mindset on what the flesh desires. See that flesh? But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mindset on what the Spirit desires. It's pretty plain, yeah? Plain as day, flesh or spirit. And then he says, verse 6, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Flesh brings death, the Spirit brings life and peace. And so what is a mindset? Well, that word, that idea kind of means to be absorbed with something, focused in on it. It's a way of thinking and so viewing, which then influences, of course, the direction of a person's life. And a fleshly mindset would be one that is very much self-focused. It means to be, well, to prefer, to enjoy, to be enticed by and to dwell on to the things of the flesh, not about what God is on about. You remember Peter when he rebukes Jesus? Jesus turns to him and says, "Get behind me, Satan. You don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of man, the things of flesh." It's in opposition to what God desires, which means that the spirit mindset would be about the things that are empowered by God, that praise God, that draw him into the picture and give him praise and glory. What is your mindset on? Are you someone who is directed by the Spirit? Because it starts to flow sort of out so that what flows in is impacted as well. Yeah, like bear with me on this because I think this is really helpful for us. We live in an age where there are influencers all over the shop. Instagram, I don't know that much about influencers to be honest, but I know that they exist. But that's not really what I'm getting at. There are influencers as in things that influence us every time we look and listen and see. And in a COVID world where we've been ramped up in our sort of media and screen time and lack of engagement, particularly even with our church community, we are at risk of having that input, the things that we seek out and search for and chase because of what the Spirit is doing, really shaping us in ways that are fleshly. Fleshly input will lead to fleshly output, won't it? I mean, we need Spirit-filled input that will guide and govern us in a way that directs us toward that Spirit-filled output. And so let me ask you, are you renewing your mind? Or are you just letting it binge? Are you just scrolling and feeling like I'm not really being impacted by this? But you are. See, we need continual renewal of our mind, being filled with God's inspired words, directed by it. We need to let those things wash over us, the good stuff. And then we need to feed our minds really actively and not just going about it through our routine. Because I know this is different. This is difficult, isn't it? And I know for many people, you can barely engage in it, which means we probably need ourselves to up our game when it comes to how it is that we pursue the Spirit-filled stuff. Engaging real in our times in the Word, in prayer, seeking out brothers and sisters that we know and love and trust. Engaging with them, not just... Yeah, we need these Spirit-filled words and we need Spirit-filled people so that they can engage with us. So who are your influencers? Or better, who is your influencer? Is it the Spirit? Or is it the flesh? There's only one direction and one mindset that leads to life. This has made that very clear. And in fact, it's even clearer. Verse 7, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Now that sounds harsh, but this is the contrast that Paul is trying to set up to show us. There's only one way that leads to life. There's only one way that leads to pleasing God. And it makes sense if you jump back to Romans chapter 1. It's nothing new that he's saying right there. We have all been against God unless the Spirit comes and transforms us. See, Paul wants to show us the difference. And the path or source of a life of true security and freedom can only come through Jesus given to you by the Spirit. So we can't neglect this. We can't neglect the fact that the way we get security is by the very presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, living in us. And like that's what he says here at the end. I want to finish with these beautiful verses and this wonderful way of putting it in verses 9 to 11. This is the key difference between a non-Christian and a Christian, between somebody who has or death and somebody who has life. Verse 9. You, however, Christian, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Remember, Paul is writing this to give assurance. So if you believe in the Lord Jesus, the Spirit is there. And what word does he use for that? He uses this idea of the Spirit living in you. He says living in you, with you, and if you look at it, there's the Spirit of Christ, there's the Spirit of God. The point is just to clear this up. There is a really intimate engagement here and connection between you and the Lord Jesus Christ because of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's trying to get at. So intimate that he uses this word called, which is the same word at the root of the word for home. So lives in you, to dwell. The word comes from the word for house. So he is there, he is with you. During COVID, during the school holidays, we wanted to try and break things up for our kids because we were in lockdown. And so I set the tent up out in the backyard and it was great. We left it out there for a week and during the night, Micah and Tilly and I would go and sleep out in the tent. Destroyed the grass, still hasn't recovered. It's a bit disappointing. Vic's trying to go to work on that. But that's not the point. The house is 9A Headley Street. the bricks and the mortar and all that space, that's our home that we live in. And if you come there, when you come to 90 Headley Street, you usually expect to see who? The Hookhams, us, living there. It's been our home for the last 5.5 years. The tent out the back certainly wasn't. It was nice to pop in and pop out of and enjoy, but our home, where we live and where we dwell. You know what it's like to be in a home. That's what's happened. The Spirit has come home to you. Made a home in your life. Lives in you, empowers you, directs you. And yet, one of the reasons I believe we don't have security is we forget and we neglect the fact that the Spirit dwells within us. We treat it more like going out to the tent every once in a while. That's more like what it's like, isn't it? No. Even if you have felt like he's been distant, even if you feel like you haven't had that experience, he is there. He is present. He is with you. But please then, don't be like those people who live together but are described like ships passing in the night. Because the Spirit can be there and you don't engage in any way. You grieve him. You ignore him. You neglect him rather than letting him come and transform you, to fill you, to inspire you, to push you, to lead you. Because where does he lead you? He leads you to security. He leads you to life. He leads you to peace. He leads you to that mountaintop. See, today's passage, it leaves us with that brilliant mountaintop view. It leads us to see the powerful effects of the Spirit. And as the band comes up, because they're going to sing a song in a moment that helps us to see what we build our lives on, let me read for you these verses 10 and 11, and just listen. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. You get the point? The Spirit lives in you. He is there. And I know life can be rough. We've felt that, haven't we? I'm tired. And yes, our bodies are weak and they are failing. We can't do it. We struggle, we sin, we feel that condemnation. We feel like we've got no hope, we've got no security. I don't know about you, but I'm all the more aware that our bodies are doomed to die in this period, which sounds very sobering. Like, we can't prevent that fact. We might be able to prolong it, but we can't prevent that fact. It's only sobering if you don't know Jesus. Because physical death will happen. If Christ doesn't return, it'll happen to all of us. But those of us who read verse 1, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we wave that banner. We have the security because Christ did it and the Spirit gives it to us. He lives in us now, which assures us. What was it? It assures us that the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, the one that's living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. What a brilliant security we have. All of this comes from being in the Spirit, from having the Spirit live within us, living by the Spirit. That gives us the confidence that we have this, doesn't it? That there is no condemnation. That is our position. That is who we are. Own it. And then with that security, go on and be guided by, be directed by, be the one who praises our great God, because we have that security that comes and can only come from having Christ Jesus come and live within you by his Holy Spirit. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What incredible words. Let me pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for Jesus. We thank you and we praise you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you that he lives in us, that he has made a home in us, that he dwells right here, right now, for those of us who believe in Jesus, and that gives us a security, that gives us an assurance that what Christ has done is now ours, that there is no condemnation because we are with Christ. Please help us to be a people that cling to that and then wave that banner. Please help us to be a people who know this through and through. And Lord, please help us trust you, because we know there is only one way to life, and that is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's in his name we pray. Amen.